If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Psalms 103 and verse number 13. Psalms 103 and 13. And while you're turning there, David is talking to himself in this psalm. I'm not going to go and read the entire psalm, the 103rd psalm. A lot of you maybe can even quote it. But he's remembering the benefits. He talks about the forgiveness of our iniquities, the healing from our diseases, redeeming from our destruction, a crown of loving kindness. He talks about strength renewed like an eagle. And then he zoomed out and says that God gives us more than we can think or even imagine. He gives us justice. God gives us revelation. And he's patient with us. He pardons us as far and casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. But in verse 13, he talks about, he says this, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as the grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto their children's children. In verse 13, he says that he pitieth us like a father. In other words, he has compassion upon us. There's no greater compassion than a father that has upon his children. I mean, I can see faults in other people's children. I can tell you how to raise your children, but don't you dare tell me how to take care of mine. I mean, there's something about a father's love that overlooks a multitude of inadequacies. You get me talking about and bragging about my children, and I've got the best children that they are. They've got a few problems, but I'm going to overlook them. My children are the best. I've got a good daughter. I've got a great son-in-law. You know most of y'all can't say that. I've got a good son. He just needs a little help. But we get to talking about how good our children are, Brother Virgil, and we may have an argument before it's over with. You understand what I'm saying? He has compassion upon us. He looks at this. In verse 14, he tells us that he knoweth our frame. Now, if you ask me this morning, do you know who the President of the United States is? I'm going to tell you, absolutely, it's Donald Trump. I know Donald Trump. But I don't know him like I know Brother Isaac. If you ask me if I know Brother Isaac, oh yeah, I know Brother Isaac. I've even shot some of his guns. I know some of his habits. I know what he likes to do. I know where he works and what he does for a living. I know about his family. I know. But then you ask me about my wife. I know her better than I know Isaac. I live with her. She's my spouse. I've known her ever since that we started dating. Before we started dating, I knew her before she knew me. She caught my eye, and I had to get her attention before she ever seen me. But he knoweth our frame. This is the most intense. The Bible says it like this, that he knew us before we was even a thought in our mother's womb. He knew us. Jeremiah says it, before I framed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before that thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. He knew who I was. And he knew what I would be. You know, early on in my career, graduating high school, I had ambitions of becoming a mechanic. I went to school. I had one of the best high school automotive mechanics, Brother Chris, I think there was, in Rogers County, Charles Wilson. He was good. He worked for a living, working on cars before he finally decided his passion was teaching school. He was knowledgeable. I decided to take a career in automotive. I went on to college, to school, at a trade school in Phoenix, Arizona. I thought was the best school that money could buy. I didn't have any. I had to do it on credit, but I went there. I pursued that path of working on cars and becoming a mechanic. Brother Johnny, I could take apart a transmission and put it back together, completely overhaul it, start that morning and test drive it by lunch. Tear another one down and overhaul it and test drive it before I went home. I knew that the transmissions inside and out. Ford Motor Company put me on as a technical resource assistant. I'm not telling you that bragging. I'm telling you that because I enjoyed what I done. I thought I'll retire doing this. If anybody in the Tulsa area had a problem with a transmission, I was the one that they called to go over and stay with them until we got it fixed. I thought, well, that is great. I become a teacher at the Votech and begin teaching night classes on transmissions. I thought, well, that's great. I became an advisor for the advisory committee for OSU Okmulgee, their asset program there in Okmulgee, Oklahoma. I become on the advisory team for Ford Motor Company for the Dallas district on their education for the Ford mechanics for their training. But that wasn't my calling. God framed me. He knew my frame, and he knew that wasn't the path that I needed to take. I thought, well, I'll become a real estate appraiser. Devon does really good at appraising. He's got an easy job. He sits behind a desk. No more busting knuckles. I got licensed. I went on and got my certified general license. That means I could appraise anything other than possibly around here, anything other than Tulsa International Airport. I done pretty good. I decided from there I would go to work at Baker Hughes. I decided that I was going to be just a general labor. I was tired of management. I was tired of dealing with people. I was tired of dealing with the public. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I can fix the car, but I have a problem fixing the driver. I wanted a place where I could go to work and just do my job and go home. It wasn't but just a couple of years, and they decided that, hey, let's put him over in the engineering department. I don't have an engineering degree. That's okay. We're gonna advance you to engineering. They knew I knew a little bit about electrical. I've got a master's in automotive electronics from Ford Motor Company. I actually got two master degrees. And don't get me wrong, I'm not here bragging on myself. They decided that they was going to put me in the LEAP program, a new it's a linear actuated motor, basically, to go in rod lift systems. I walked in the first day and I said, this will never work. And they said, what do you mean? I'm in there with engineers. That's a basic Ohm's law. You can't do what you're wanting to do in a 4-inch motor. And I mean, basic electricity. There's a fundamental law that says you can only have so much amperage on a certain size wire with a certain amount of voltage or the wire's going to blow. Brother Keith's an electrician. He knows what I'm talking about. They said, well, we're gonna make it work. It can't work. They said, well, we're gonna use square wire instead of round wire. We could get more copper in the amount of surface area, wind it tighter, use peak insulation. We went through a long story short, after so many millions of dollars that Baker Hughes spent, they decided that this project, we're just going to scrap it. During that time, God knew my frame. He knew that that wasn't the career that I needed to take. He said, inside of that frame, you was built for a preacher. You was built to pastor a church. In the back of my mind, I knew it all along. My dad pulled me aside years ago and said, son, I've got one son that's a guitar player and a singer, and he's a good one. But he said, you've been called to preach. He knew me. My father knew me. He knew what was inside of me. He knew how I was built. He knew my faults and he knew my failures. But he still had compassion on me. Loved me for who I was. In all of my mistakes and all of my blunders and all of my misdirection, I wanted to go this way and I wanted to go that way and I wanted to do my own thing, but God says, no. I know what you're made of. He knew my frame. The Bible tells us, Jesus there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're of more value than a many sparrows. David began to look in verse number 15 and 16 at the picture of our frailty. He began to look at human life with clear eyes. The scripture tells us, as for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourished. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. The frailty of life. I know we use these scriptures a lot in funeral services. But the fact of the matter is that human life is here but just for a moment, and then it's gone. Like the grass, we've been blessed lately with a lot of rain, and I don't know about yours, but my grass is growing. I mowed it Monday, and I'll tell you what, it needs it again. But in a couple of weeks, usually about mid-July through August, we're going to be wishing we would have had some of this rain that we've got right now. The grass will start turning brown. It'll start to die, and it withers away. How frail our life is. James put it like this in chapter 4 and verse 14, I believe is where it's at. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Looking back on my life, Brother Pete, I wonder, where has it gone? Where has time went? It seems just like yesterday I was putting my children in kindergarten. And now they're grown. Life has a way of getting away from us. I see the preeminence of His love in verse number 17. He says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. The frailty of life, He knows us. And our life is nothing but a vapor. It's like grass, David said. The frailty of our life. But He has compassion upon us. But then on the other side of that, the contrasting side, I see His grace. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. His grace, it is no expiration date on it. When we're dead and gone, guess what? His grace is still going to be here. His mercy, it endures. The Bible says in verse number 17, He said, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. A condition. Them that fear Him. He's not talking about the kind of fear that we're afraid, but He talks about the kind of fear that is a word of reverence. It means taking Him seriously. If you fit into His plan, not that He fits into your plan. It's not conditional on how you did this week. His mercy did not diminish just because you did. And I see the promise to His people and His righteousness unto the children's children. What God is doing for you does not stop with you. But it goes on to your children. Your faithfulness is an inheritance to your children and your grandchildren. I thought about what is recorded in the book of Genesis concerning Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, a very familiar passage. And He said, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You know, it's Mother's Day and Father's Day are kind of hard whenever you've lost your parents. I thought about my mother. Mother probably prayed more for me because she had to hear my preaching. But Dad prayed for me. And I could go to Dad, Brother Virgil, ask Dad questions and ask him for advice and guidance. And I knew I had a father that would lead me and steer me in the right direction. But you know, that scripture come to me in the book of Revelations. You'll find it in Revelations chapter 14 and verse 13. And John said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write." Now listen to what he told him to write. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Mom and Dad may not be here this morning, but you know what? Their works are still here. From everlasting to everlasting, this is generation to generation. You may be coming to church and have your family that's out in this world lost and dying without Christ, but let me tell you what, your works will follow you. I still feel the prayers of my mother and my father praying for me. If you still got your earthly father and your earthly mother, you need to be thankful this morning. But this is a conditional promise. I'm preaching to the fathers that's here right now. If you will fear the Lord, your works will follow from everlasting to everlasting, from your children's children. What you do for Christ will not just stop with you. It's time this world wakes up and we get some earthly fathers, heavenly fathers, that are back in the church, fearing the Lord and praying for their children. Living for God is more than just living in the moment. The promise is more than just for this generation. We're dust. We're grass. We're here but for a short time and then we're gone. We're small. But Jesus is eternal. David began this psalm like this, looking at himself. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." I think we've got a reason to praise Him this morning. He's the best father a person can have. With all of His might and all of His power. And David said, "With all of my weakness and all of my frailty, He still chose to love me. He chose me. He chose you."